Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
For us, golf is simple. It's a chance to get out and have some fun with our friends. But inevitably, little things have a way of ruining it. The group ahead is taking forever, you can't find the fairway with a map, and the bev cart is nowhere to be found. And the best way to make a bad day better is Fireball Whiskey. You get their nips, the little shooters. They are great. Makes bad day way, way, way better. Make sure to grab the new Fireball Birdie Shot Club. It's literally a golf club filled with Fireball nips. Put it in your bag. It'll fit right in that side pocket. Drink Fireball nips and have a great time on the golf course.
Hey, what's going on there, pal?
We saw you at the hockey game on.
Do I know you guys?
I'm Ryan Whitney. I got a drink named after me.
Not a big deal.
Pink Whitney? That's what I thought. See ya, fellas.
I invented the thing, you pigeon.
Pink Whitney for legendary moments.
Reveille, reveille, reveille. It's a Monday edition here on Zero Block 30, and today we have three rounds in the magazine. Round number one, the whole world is talking about it, so we are too. We're going to get you the skinny on all the things that are going on with the Queen, old rapscallion King Charles. I'll never call him King Charles. I did it right there, but in conversation, he's always going to be Prince to me. Imagine being 70 years old. You're supposed to be the boy king your entire life, and you got to wait around till you're 70. Mm-hmm. You don't even get to enjoy being king.
No, and he's already looking grumpy and rude as hell. So,
he looks like a king. I think people all across the world, even folks like our good friend Kelly Keeks, who really likes the royals, I think once they see King Charles and how big of a cock that guy is, people are going to be out. It's one thing when it's a 90-year-old woman with her little corgis and looking adorable walking around. It's another thing when it's an old white man who is move your shit, Adam. Move your shit.
Viral video from the weekend, him being rude to his help already.
How about those hands?
Yeah, we're going to roast the Royals in round number one. Round number two, though, we got some other things going on. Do not walk down Cumming Drive with your naked mother while you're also naked and 33 years old. It's time to update the safety brief. Oh, no. Little brownie throat coming through.
Quality sleep optimizes recovery, helping professional and everyday athletes perform their best. Only the Sleep Number smart bed is proven to improve the quality of sleep and provides valuable insights that can be used to support overall wellness. Talent on a college team allows the best players to outperform their opponents, but in the NFL, everyone is talented. Players entering the draft need every competitive edge they can get, starting with quality sleep. Training will only get more intense as players transition to the pros, so to optimize recovery, they can rely on Sleep Number for consistent, high-quality sleep. Experience game-changing sleep with a Sleep Number smart bed only at a Sleep Number store.
On with the actual show of the day. First up, though, Katie, everybody needs an update because you came through. You said you're going to the wedding. Give us the skinny, my friend, because I feel like it was even more than I had anticipated seeing in your Instagram stories.
It was. So the wedding wasn't until 6 o'clock. I go pick up my cousin at 1. We get to the hotel. The whole family's checking in. There's an Uno pizza place across the parking lot, which I haven't been to one of those in forever. But my cousin and I go.
Those are so fancy too. They opened one up in Jacksonville by NAS Jax, where my dad used to work. And I was like, Chicago style deep dish. This is
I've never set foot in one of those.
No, you're not. It was a little bleak. But we go in and it's just the two of us. We're like, let's just get a giant table and text some of the fam and see if anybody's down to like do a little pre-gaming for the wedding with us. Next
Why would
thing
you not
know,
go to Uno?
Next thing you know,
feel like you just send out the minion signal. It's like Batman. Yeah. They all just come.
It's the smell of a Marlboro light. They all came running. Next thing you know, we took over like half the restaurant. Four Twisted Teas deep. They didn't have what's big. Otherwise, I would have been drinking
right.
that. And I was like, oh no, I still got to get normally like two drinks now and I'm done. And the night hasn't even started yet. And I'm like four in. Plus, we're all sitting and chatting for like 3 hours. So whatever. Then I made the very smart move of ordering myself a chicken parm hoagie for later in the night. I said,
That is smart.
Wait, you're doing per sandwiches before you even go out? I feel like that's something that you tuck away at the last spot.
I took it back to the hotel and put it in my fridge, and I said, I'll see you later, little toasty little friend.
That was so smart.
And it was brilliant. Very good move. Then all the girls come back to our room, and a bunch of the gals, we were listening to early 2000s bops. We were doing our hair and our makeup and whatever.
Now, what kind of bops we talking? We talking NSYNC and Backstreet Boys?
Oh, yep. Nice. All the old school stuff, Destiny's Child,
Brittany, Christina. Yeah.
So the girls were buzzing. Shout out, cousin
Single
Amy.
Ladies comes on, not for much longer. Not for
that was the mood.
Put our pocketbooks down.
Then it's time to go. There's buses taking people over to the wedding because so many people are staying at the hotel, and we got on the last bus. Very last bus, right as it's pulling out, we get on, but we all still have our drinks. We get to the wedding, it was outside, and we're looking at everyone sitting, and then it was standing room only in the back, and people still had their drinks, so we're like, okay. So we were like sipping our drinks in the wedding, and then in the very back, there was like three people smoking cigarettes, so like out in the back.
I actually think that's lovely, right?
I have to tell you.
Having one of those beer guys, ice cold beer here, get your beer here, ice cold, $5 for a Bud Light.
I'm assuming this wasn't a Catholic mass, right?
No, it was an outdoor. It was the most beautiful. It was on this beautiful lake under this like white tent thing, like kind of in the woods. And it was the most chill, relaxed, beautiful. I was like, I wish sitting there, because at your wedding, I was drinking while you did your vows cons.
Mm-hmm. That so, was the idea,
I feel like that's the move. It was so chill and so relaxed and so lovely. Really had the best time. And then so now I've been going since like 2 p.m. at this point, and we're at 7 o'clock and I'm still cruising. Man. They weren't doing shots. So my cousin, this is probably bad terminology, but she was getting giant glasses of tequila running around with a straw going, tequila bumps. And so I kept doing
with
a little handful of lime. So I kept doing tequila bumps.
Wait, with one of those like things that they have at like Fogo de Chao, where it's like the long, you know what I'm talking about? The wine thing where you stop it with your finger? Is that what she's doing?
No, I wish. That would have been amazing.
What a move that would be.
It would have been. But so we found our way around the shots thing. Anyway, the next morning, my cousin was like, that was hilarious how you grabbed all those baggies of cake and you were tossing them to everybody last night, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, what? I don't remember doing that at all. And I smoked a ton of heaters. I had a ton of fun dancing with my family.
Made some posts about hemorrhoids.
Oh, my God. And then I was dancing for so long. And when I dance, I dance. Yeah. I'm not just bopping my head. I'm getting down and squatting. Well, if you've given birth in the last year or two, you can't do that. By the end of the night, I mean, I felt like I was looking fly, but I was saying to the girls, my asshole's killing me. Yoinks. Man. Zoinks. Being so steady. It was terrible. Anyway.
I know Kate going up to somebody whispering, but it's super loud.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, by the way, my asshole's
fine,
screaming.
But my asshole's screaming over here. Zoinks. I was afraid to get too low. I didn't want to stamp the dance floor with that.
My asshole.
Yeah. Yeesh. Anyway, that started to become a problem. So then I'm standing in the corner formulating the perfect joke post about hemorrhoids, which I posted on my Instagram. It was that party meme where it's like the guy in the corner, he's like, they don't know that whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
I made it. They don't know my entire asshole's hanging out right now. And then I posted it on my Instagram. And then 20 minutes later, I forgot and I went to check my Instagram and I was like, what? Why did you post that? I deleted it. Whatever. Get back to the hotel. Kind of fuzzy at this point. Everyone's going back over to Uno. They rented it out for the evening.
Yeah, you gotta go
party.
Back.
Uno had the after
midnight
party.
To do.
Wow.
Aunt
they
Peggy...
don't know I have a parm sandwich in my hotel room.
That's true. Party Peg's texting me, where are you? Everybody's waiting for you. Colleen and I, my cousin, we had our high noons and our booze up in the room. And we just... which was stupid. We should have stopped. But the two of us then just kept boozing and we were eating my chicken parm and we were just having ourselves a time. I woke up the next morning. My parents knocked on the door to be like, hey, do you want to come to breakfast with us? And I was like, no,
get off me. I'm starving.
Slept in till 11 a.m.
Wow. When was the last time you did that?
I had a giant body armor drink next to the bed. I took my Advil. I crushed it. I nailed it. Went
to
Wawa.
So was that 7 o'clock text or tweet that you put out? 7-something, you were still up?
Maybe. I don't know.
Good night, Kate.
Anyway, Whatever.
Let's move on. Okay. We'll go. Kate had a good time. Sorry, that was a long dumb story.
I had a good time.
No, it was great. I think it was fantastic.
Thank you.
Let's get into the actual show of the day. We're talking about the queen. What do we got, Kate?
Well, in case you're living under a rock, she is not with us anymore, first of all. True. Let's establish that for anyone who doesn't know. Imagine one listener out there of ours, like nearly being like, what? Are you serious? Obviously this was met with a lot of mixed reactions. It's, you know, you have people like at work, like Kelly Keeggs and some other people I work with, like had tears in their eyes when this news came out.
That's
and then
so
other people we work with, like Troops, our UK soccer guy, was like, fuck that bitch, fuck that queen, you know? So
I like what, well, there's one tweet very much about this idea where I forget who it was that was just like everybody on both sides of the political aisle, like waiting on Twitter to see one of their political leaders. Like, how do we feel about this? Like, you know, if you have to be happy or sad, like, how should I feel about this?
Yeah.
I think I know the answer, but how do you guys feel?
I don't care.
I don't really care.
Me neither.
I mean, I will watch like the, if there's some big, if, I don't know if there's another ceremony that's going to happen. Like the funeral, I'm sure is going to be big. I'll watch that just so I can make fun of it and maybe get a couple viral tweets off. That's it. That's all. That's the only reason why I care. Other than that, I don't care.
Yeah, like I recognize who she is and the significance of who she was, but she's
I care as much as I do a random other 96-year-old woman down the street dying.
Right,
yeah, I've seen like a lot of people on Twitter being like, well, actually, she was a symbol of oppression. I'm like, if you're in a country where that actually happened, for sure. But if you're just some like
Troops was talking, like one of our guys that does soccer here for Barstool Sports, and he lives in England and he's from Jamaica. He was talking about she oppressed my people. I don't care about her.
Yeah, right. Exactly. But I see a lot of people here on their high horse who normally I'm like, you don't really give a fuck. You don't know anything about this. You're just trying to get likes on your tweets. Anyway. A lot of mixed reactions. One of the most viral was from an Irish soccer game where they were all chanting Lizzie's in a box that had people go. And that was a thing.
Goodness.
Yeah. Lizzie's in a box. Anyway, but it was with Irish accents, not British. Don't get it twisted. Anyways, Elizabeth was queen for 70 years and 214 days, making her the longest reigning British monarch and the second longest reigning monarch of all time in the entire world.
There's no way they can know that. Solomon lived forever. I mean,
no.
Adam lived to be like 650. You're telling me he didn't like get a little bit? Come on.
Louis XIV, I don't do Roman numerals, of France. He reigned just a little longer than her, for 2 years longer than she did.
Louis XIV.
I don't know.
Give it a shot. Just give it a guess.
Yeah, just try.
The old college try.
Louis 72.
Wow. You actually nailed it. Yeah.
Okay. And only.
You know what? Let's stick with Louis XIV.
Yeah.
She's one of only four people in the entire world to rule for seven or more decades in the history of the entire world. He had a head start, though. He hit the throne when he was 5 years old. And fun note, too, she was queen for 30% of our entire U.S. history.
That's insane.
Oh, that's an interesting number.
Yeah.
That is.
The queen's funeral is expected to take place 10 days after her death and will be held on Monday, September 19th, 2022. It's going to be on NBC, ladies. Westminster Abbey in London. And actually, pretty sure, I don't know if the news is out yet, we have two Barstool correspondents who are going.
Are we allowed to say who?
Because I don't know who. Fran?
Nope. Uh-uh. It's actually two people who are going to crush it.
Oh, Caleb and
Nick and KB.
Nick and KB? Oh, yeah. Yeah, but so, that says a lot about Barstool, where you're like, we just listed like four or five people that would be great to go and do that kind of thing.
Yes, absolutely. I think one is just waiting on their passport. That might be an issue. But anyway, prior to that, the queen will lie in state at Westminster Hall for 4 days to allow the public to pay their respects. It is understood that during the designated 2-week mourning period, Charles will embark on a tour. He'll be going to Scotland, Wales, and Northern Ireland, being like, hello, I'm your new guy. Hello, new guy. Nice to meet you. Hello, new guy.
Governess.
Hello, sweepy chimneys. Ruling and also sweepy chimneys, governess. Harry, Buckbeak, Ron Weasley.
Get up there and do it.
Yeah. Anyway.
The king's coming, Ron.
Charlie, you bit me. You bit my finger, Charlie. Oh, that's what he's going to be doing.
Weasley.
Anyways, there are several interesting threads on Twitter over the weekend about her life. One was about all the sporting events she attended throughout her lifetime. These are just kind of some interesting things I'm going to go through quick. In 1957, she was at Wimbledon, where Athena Gibson was the first Black champion at Wimbledon. So she actually received the singles trophy from the Queen in 1957. The Queen, George W. Bush. Oh, no, just the old H-W. School George Bush. Barbara
old school Bush, yeah.
And Prince Philip made an appearance at the Orioles versus Oakland Athletics game in 1991.
Huge game.
Yeah. Everyone remembers that one.
Big can't deal. Believe we didn't make that.
She was also at the opening ceremony of the 2012 Olympics, where she spoke in front of millions of viewers from around the world. The rest, it was a really interesting thread. It just kind of gave you a breadth of how much she's traveled and everything. Here's some interesting ones about all the... She was queen during 14 American presidents from Truman to Biden. And she met all of them, Democrat and Republican, except for one. I'll give you a clue. Big old hog in his pants.
Big old dick, Lyndon Johnson.
That's right.
I wonder why that happened.
I don't know.
My guess is because he was just like, screw that broad. I don't care to meet her.
Yeah, exactly.
He's on the phone telling that person how to tailor his slacks.
But here's some fun factoids about some of the presidents that she met. Dwight Eisenhower loved her scones so much that she sent him the recipe.
That's nice. I'm surprised she cooks.
Well, I'm sure it was from her staff.
It was her staff scones.
Nixon went to Buckingham Palace, but forgot to bring a formal suit. He actually had to borrow a suit in desperation from a guest that was also staying there.
Sitting president, he didn't have a suit?
Yes.
That's crazy.
This is one of my favorites. Gerald Ford invited the Queen to a state dinner at the White House in 1976 and made a huge faux pas when he asked her to dance to the song Lady is a Tramp.
Good old son. Love it.
But I understand that. Like sometimes fellas like me, I'm one of these fellas, I don't listen to the words of the song. I just like the bops. There is a song that I used to like by Justin Nizuka is his name. And it's a beautiful song. Incredibly well written, incredibly well played. He has a beautiful voice. And I was like, Annalise, when we first started dating, like, maybe this should be our song. And she looked at me like, are you fucking stupid? This song is about domestic violence. Like, the guy kills his wife. I guess we won't do that one.
Similar vibe. Jimmy Carter missed her cheek and kissed her on the lips.
We've all been there.
That's not an accident. That's old Georgia-ism. Oh, sorry, m'lady.
Sorry about that. The Queen Mother reportedly said, he is the only man since my dear husband died to have kissed me on the lips. Yikes.
Frontally.
Yes. She stayed at Reagan's ranch in 83 and had the best time. She was a huge horse lady. She was a horse girl growing up. And so he had all these horses on his ranch, loved it. They were buds. Trump attended a state dinner at Buckingham Palace. And afterwards, he bragged to Fox News, there are those that say they have never seen the Queen have a better time, a more animated time.
I wouldn't doubt that.
He showed her the best time ever.
I really wouldn't doubt that.
And Biden was at Windsor Castle last summer, where he said the Queen reminded him of his mother. And aren't all moms queens, folks?
They really are. Good point, really. Kate. One of my favorite facts about the Queen that I hadn't thought about until I read it on Reddit. 16 different leaders of MI6 reported to her and gave her intelligence briefings. She might be the most read-in person of classified information and secrets for states of anyone in the history of the world.
Because of all
the different heads of state. She's the head of state of 17 different countries now, but when she took over, she was the head of state for 32 different countries across the globe. So all of those would give her intelligence reports just so she'd know, not like she could do anything with it, but she had all this information from 1952 all the way to now. So that means she went through the Korean War, Vietnam, Desert Storm, all the different other conflicts that other countries has had, Iraq, Afghanistan, everything. She's had all this information of, and now it's gone with her. Her personal library of information that she had is now gone.
I would imagine, though, keeping secrets that long. I hate keeping secrets. I love knowing them, but I hate keeping them.
Yeah.
Keeping secrets for that long would probably be excruciating. I have to imagine at some point she had to say, like, hey, Charles, come here. I just want to tell you one little thing here, buddy, and give him some little nugget from 1958 that was kind of interesting but not really relevant anymore, because keeping secrets is tough.
But also think about it from the perspective of your entire life. You've always known the secrets. I don't think you care about knowing the secrets that much. Yeah.
Possible.
Like if you grow up in that place and you know everything, knowing everything is the only thing you know. So being in the know is not important or even impressive.
It's not as cool. Yeah. It's not as cool anymore.
Like I think going in like Princess Kate or Princess Diana or Meghan, somebody like that gets married into the royal family, that shit would be fucking incredible. I don't even know if you realize it. Like Harry complains about his life. Like, really, Harry? Like, you, dude? You that has this $500 million wealth for just having your last name, you are upset so, with the quality of your life?
That's something that I tweeted about and people took a little umbrage with. I said how like the queen is the quintessential example of, you know, born on third and acts like she hit a triple. She was just born into this. And people were like, well, actually, somebody had to die and did. I don't care about that. She was born into this family and that's how she became queen. You know, all the other stuff is semantics. So let's not act like she like accomplished something to become queen. Like if you become president of the United States, you actually had to like do something. You had to win an election. Becoming well. Queen. What?
But I will say, like, if you watch The Crown like I did and read up on it and everything, she didn't want to be queen. Like it was. When her father died, it was her father's brother was supposed to become queen.
Right.
But he was like, nah, I got a hottie boomalotti in Manhattan. I'm dipping out. And it kind of got thrust upon her when she didn't want it. And
which is a little too on the nose, right? That seems too novelish to me. Like, oh, I'm the queen, but it's not a position I ever wanted.
But it does mm-hmm. kind of
she
trap
could have
you.
Just been like, I'm no longer the queen. I give it back. And we're going to be a republic.
Mm-hmm. But it is more complicated than that. And there's so much pressure and like blah, blah, blah. But like, so it does kind of trap you. Like, I don't feel bad. Because it was like this world of fancy wealth or whatever, but it does definitely that you know what the rest of your life is going to be. If you had other dreams and other things you wanted, like that's gone. You got it. Like this. Is
I will say,
now. It's a lot of pressure. All, I don't know.
For all the cool stuff you get to do as queen, it probably has to suck to live your entire life in the public eye like that and
yeah.
have to act a certain way and never being able to let loose and do anything.
Can't go to Vegas and pop out of the lid of your limo with your titties out. You know,
yeah, she probably never ever ripped a Barker off of a bleacher seat.
Right. Yeah. She probably wanted to do that. She probably wanted to get fucked up in a Pizza Uno's.
How many
couple
queef jokes do you think she made in her life? I
Not
bet zero.
A single one. Right?
Did she even live?
Well, here's a couple major historical events.
Load a couple A's. I'll be child to blow ho.
Queen Elizabeth was 15 years old when Pearl Harbor was attacked. She was born 2 years after the death of Lenin. Stalin died when she was 26. She was 35 when the Soviets sent the first human to space, 62 when the Soviets withdrew from Afghanistan, 65 when the Soviet Union collapsed, and 73 when Vladimir Putin came to power. And so this just goes to show like such a long lifetime. This guy had this really interesting tweet thread where he said, what I'm trying to say, it's been a long century. History is so much newer than we tend to imagine it being. We are 5 human lifetimes removed from the Protestant Reformation, 8 human lifetimes removed from the Mongol Empire ruling the third of Eurasia. Like her life goes to show, since she lived for so long, like it's not that long ago that all this crazy shit's happening. Mm-hmm. She was 35 years old when Sierra Leone achieved independence from the British Empire. The last time a human being died of smallpox, Queen Elizabeth was 52, but I'm pretty sure we're bringing that back here in the U.S. She was 64 when Nelson Mandela was released from a South African prison. He had been in prison since she was 36. So it's just kind of an interesting thing, all the history that she lived through.
Yeah, she's
during
definitely
her reign,
been around a while and had a very extensive life and worked in World War II or in during the Korean War and things like that as well. Or no, it was World War II where she was like go ahead.
This is interesting, too. She traveled over 1 million miles in her life, the equivalent of 40 trips around the globe. Her family's worth $28 billion. She carried out roughly 21,000 engagements. She hosted 113 heads of state from other countries and hosted 180 garden parties at Buckingham Palace, attended by more than 1.5 million people. We talk about at work how, like, oh, all these new people here, I don't know anyone. Imagine trying to keep track of, like, the endless amount of people who's coming and going.
No, but that's a point. I'm sorry. Just one thing about those numbers. Like you're doing this 21,000 engagements, like where someone might be coming their one and only time in their lifetime to come see the queen. And this is your, 19,167th party. You're like, whatever. No big deal. So I just think that aspect of it where you always have to be on for
that
everybody.
It has to become like Groundhog's Day, right? Yeah. And never getting to wear a sweatsuit.
Right.
Oh, my God. Forget mm-hmm. it. Mm-hmm. Finally, one of my favorite facts. She owned over 30 corgis in her lifetime. And her first corgi was named Dookie in 1933. Dookie. Little Dookie.
Actually, people don't realize that's where Green Day got the name for that album.
True.
Yeah. Dookie from the Queen's dog. But yeah, she was a mechanic in World War II, which from 1939 to 1945. Well, that's how long the war lasted.
And now King Charles is in charge of all over the place in England. I think people are going to hate this dude. They don't already like him. I think because of how Princess Diana went down, where she was essentially I mean, because people in the United States went bananas over Princess Di. Like, they loved her. My mom was obsessed watching all the different weddings and watching all the different pomp and ceremonies that they had. She loved watching that, but she even hated old King Charles when he was just a prince. Prince Andrew's taking care of the dogs now, even though he's like a terrible person altogether.
Yeah. He's a pedophile, you can
he's
say
he's a pedophile.
Yeah, pedophile. Big time pedophile.
Big time pedophile. We were talking about on the Yak, Tampon Gate. Do you guys know what that was?
Yes.
It was this recording that got leaked when Charles was with Diana, but he was on the phone with Camilla, like sexting with her. And he was like, oh, like this is part of the recording. Like, I wish I was one of your tampons. That's how, so I could be inside
Good
of you.
Lord.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I guess your game isn't that tight when you're just controlled your entire life. So you're, your game when it comes to saying things to other women, it's not great. Yeah.
Yeah.
But also his, you guys saw the picture of his fingers.
Yeah. His fingers are fucked up. He's got a big time problem with these fingers. If you haven't seen them, they look like those little packets of sausage, like little.
Well, I was going to say, he looks like he can't, he's like Frankie Borelli and can't avoid the salted meats. And he's just got so much sodium coursing through his body.
Yeah. He's ready for bangers and mash at any point. Just give him some potatoes and he's ready to go.
This is true. This is very true.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
Let's move on to round number two. What do we got, Kate?
We got, by the way, I have a Rocky Boots theme song. There she was, just a hiking down the street, singing R-O-C-K-Y-B-O-T-T.
Sure.
Okay, round number two. Naked Walk. We got a Naked Walk going on. Mother's
Which
Son
I think, this is, that article's title buries the lead. Big time. Mother's son indicted for public indecency after nude walk down Atlanta highway. That doesn't even begin to really scratch the surface of what we're about to go through.
Yeah, a mother-son duo infamously arrested while walking naked down Atlanta highway on May 17th has been indicted for public indecency and other charges by a Morgan County grand jury. According to court documents, Angela Michelle Hill, 57, of Houston, Texas, was indicted on one count of entering an automobile, one count of making false statement, one count of giving false info to a law enforcement officer, and public indecency last week. Her son, Tommy German, 33, of Houston, Texas, was indicted on one count of criminal attempt to commit a felony, one count of making a false statement, blah, 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 blah. Hill records, records indicate that Hill was released from the Morgan County Detention Center after she was granted a $10,000 bond, saying, bitch, you got to stay out of Morgan County unless you're here for court. We're done with you. Mm-hmm. We're done with your little bee cheeks walking down the highway.
And now we're going to find out what actually happened. We set the scene a little bit. We're going to find out what happened here.
The duo's arrest in May ended a brief but intense and strange series of events that culminated with them walking naked. According to an initial story first published in the Morgan County Citizen.
Now, wait, before we keep going, I need to ask you, Kate, in order for there to be a scenario where you are 33 years old, walking down the street naked with your 56-year-old mother, what would need to take place? I mean, a lot of things, right?
I mean, we're both in a mansion on separate ends of the house showering when a bomb goes off or something.
Yeah,
that's maybe. The only thing I can think
that's
of.
Good.
Yeah, so this fella, German, he was nude. He had allegedly been banging on the back door of a Cumming Drive residence. That's C-U-M-M-I-N-G. Mm-hmm. Cumming Drive residence demanding entrance. A woman in the residence contacted her husband and son, who were in a workshop next to the residence, saying, call 911. There's this crazy
That's
got to
be
man.
One of the most jarring images that you could. A 57-year-old woman naked pounding on the door. Because if you're pounding, imagine what's going on with your chest. If you're pounding, it's like when you're a fucking teacher and you're racing side to side. You got to go up and down so your butt cheeks don't wave around in the wind. I bet she doesn't know that. She's pounding.
Well, no, it's
flaring.
The son. It's the son who's pounding on the door. It's the son. Right. But still, probably even more startling that it's
Giblet still. Something still flying around in the wind. Yeah.
The men confronted German and Hill with loaded shotguns. Hill was allegedly exiting a vehicle at the Cumming Drive residence. German had a stick in one hand and a backpack on, but nothing else. One of the men, Duncan Cumming, 74, said he told German, "Do not let a finger touch that backpack."
I kept thinking there, Kate, when I read this one, was Tim Robinson. Don't let anybody touch that fucking backpack.
Yeah, don't let anybody touch that backpack. The couple exited the property with both Duncan and David Cumming training their loaded weapons at them. According to a local police officer, Hill and German are believed to have left a disabled 2018 Jeep Wrangler on Interstate 20, approximately 1 mile from the Cumming residence, a day earlier. So they were like nude in the woods, hanging out somewhere.
Naked for days.
That vehicle, Pritchett said, was consumed by fires, and authorities had eyewitness statements from motorists who claimed to observe a clothed couple fitting Hill and German's description walking away from the vehicle. But
it's, again, hard to say if it's them because these people were clothed, so it's hard to say.
Hard to say. The vehicle burned in an area known locally as the Crow's Nest, where an interstate splits into a large pine grove. I'm guessing that's where they were hanging out. Mm-hmm. The indictment against Hill alleges that Hill entered David Cumming's 2005 Land Cruiser and told authorities that Cummings had threatened her with a weapon and forced her to remove clothing, knowing the same to contain false information. So I don't even know what the fuck's happening at this point. I'm not even tracking on. My brain's not comprehending.
So what's happening here is that she's telling now, because the people that she was knocking, that they were knocking on the door and trained weapon on them, she's telling the cops, "I was naked because they forced me to take off my clothes whenever I was knocking on the door."
Mm. This is really fucked up. German is also indicted with giving false statements. He allegedly told investigators that Cummings had threatened him with a weapon and forced. So now the nude son is saying, no, it was the Cummings whose house I ran to who put their guns on me and were like, "Take off your clothes," which I do not believe.
Right.
German also told authorities his name was Anthony Carlos. The indictment alleges both Hill and German did then and there unlawfully perform a lewd appearance in a state of complete nudity.
Complete nudity. Mm.
Deputies with the sheriff's office spent nearly a day searching the woods between the Cummings residence and where the Jeep burned, looking for discarded clothing or other evidence in relation to the incident, but didn't find anything.
So the safety brief is essentially, if your car breaks down on an Atlanta highway, do not get naked and knock on people's doors. Just go ahead and call AAA. That's the safety brief.
So this is, to me, a very clear case. I think anybody who's ever probably even just been to New York City, but anybody who lives in New York City or works in New York City and is there often, all the time, you'll see people doing very strange things, whether they're talking to themselves or touching themselves in a weird way, open in public. And you just think to yourself, how could a human actually do those things? And then the very next thought is, oh yeah, drugs. That's what happened here. These people are high on something. No, they're high on something.
Well, a lot of it too is because of mental health issues that don't probably get addressed. Oh, yes.
You're exacerbated by drug use too.
Yes.
Oh, totally. Yes, totally. But I'm just saying, like, basically the moral of the story is drugs are bad.
Yes. Yeah. This is a story where I think you can basically assume that drugs were involved as well.
Right.
For sure.
Right. That's all I'm saying. But you're right, Kate. There's probably other issues
at
play here.
We got multiple naked people. Like, this isn't the same. Like, they're not both like, oh yeah, let's get fucking naked and we both are depressed. Mm-hmm. This is, we're doing some drugs and we're going to walk around naked.
Yeah. My guess is that there was drugs happening in the Jeep. Somehow the Jeep got set on fire by whatever they were using to light whatever.
Yep, probably with drugs.
Clothes got a little burned in the process as they tried to save the drugs of the car. I'm just speculating. Next thing you know, you're naked in a pine grove in the Crow's Nest.
And you probably think somebody or something is chasing you. So you're like, gotta get away from this car.
Classic case of butterfly effect, really.
Yeah, truly. Seriously. And next thing you know, you're at the Cummings.
Yep.
And they got their guns on you. Yeah. So update the safety brief. Don't do that.
Seriously. If I heard this story once, I've heard it a million times.
You know this 74-year-old rural Atlanta walking out that's been working in his wood shop all day. Don't touch that backpack. What's in that backpack? Why are you? Because that's really terrifying. If somebody is full out naked and they're only wearing a backpack and they're knocking on your door, that would be terrifying. Like, legitimately.
Absolutely.
I feel like I'm totally in the right to have a shotgun on somebody.
This is someone with nothing left to lose. You're like, this guy's a wild card and who knows what the fuck's going to happen. Mm-hmm. That is and the scary situation too is like, if a naked woman ran to my door, my first instinct would be to let her in and help her. But this is maybe not so much in this case.
Especially in a neighborhood like this, that you're out in the middle of the nowhere, you know, like, well, really anywhere. Naked woman shows up, you're like, oh God, like, what happened to you?
Right,
are you okay?
But this had more of a Babadook vibe.
Very Babadook vibe. All right, let's move on to round number three.
Spring is the best time to add new challenges to your training, just in time for summer and warmer days. I can't wait to get on my Peloton when I get home from the road. It just gets you going. It gets my heart pumping inside my house. I don't have to deal with anyone at these gyms, you know, looking at me any weird and or judging me. I get to do whatever I want in the comfort of my own home, and I absolutely love the Peloton and the app. Spring is the best time to power on your fitness routine and dial it up a notch. Peloton's workouts were made to challenge you. Whether you have 5 or 60 minutes, there are a variety of classes such as boot camps, full body strength, boxing, and marathon training. All of these are created to grow your skills and push you to improve what you already excel in. Peloton's program and instructors push you to be the best that you can be with challenging classes that'll keep you coming back for more. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at one.peloton.com.
Talk about some actual good news. What do we got here, Kate?
Yeah, so coming to us from military.com, the Department of Veteran Affairs on Friday moved forward with its plan to offer abortion counseling and services through its hospitals for the first time to veterans, spouses, and dependents as abortion is being banned around the country, and Republicans are vowing to block this move now. In an interim final rule published in the Federal Register, the department gave official notice that it will offer abortion services to those covered by its healthcare system. But there's a caveat. It's only in cases of rape, incest, and danger to the life or health of the mother. VA Secretary Dennis McDonough said abortion-related medical services would protect the lives and health of veterans. Unless VA removes its existing prohibitions on abortion-related care and makes clear that needed abortion-related care is authorized, these veterans will face serious threat to their life and health. McDonough has said that the department is not prohibited by law from providing abortions, but has not offered the services only because they were just not included in the medical benefits package that was last done in 1999. It goes to show you how infrequently they update these, by the way. With the rule published, the VA plans to begin developing and implementing the benefit as soon as possible. This would include surveying its capabilities and, of course, they're going to have to train personnel. The Hyde Amendment restricts federal funding for abortions for reasons other than rape, incest, and harm to the life of the mother. So if you're outside that realm, though, worth noting, like if you were in a situation like I was, like this wouldn't cover you. So outside that realm, you're at the mercy of whatever state you're in and whether you have a good command or not, basically. According to the interim rule, the VA believes by law that the secretary can decide what care and medical services veteran needs. And McDonough has determined that abortions and abortion counseling are within standards of care. Republicans have vowed to block the VA's new policy, arguing that the department is barred by law from covering abortions. Republicans cite a VA Healthcare Act of 1992, which directed the VA to provide reproductive health care only in service-connected conditions. I don't know how or why that would come in, but I don't know why on earth you'd want to force women to have children, especially because...
I don't know how you can... It makes me sick.
Especially
though.
Because they know in this case it would be, if it was allowed by the VA, it would be directly because of rape, incest, or the mother could die. And
right.
They still
want
to block
it. How do you look at those
I don't
and
know.
Say that that's a bad rape, incest, and danger to the health and life of the mother? How do you say that's a, how do you argue that as a rational person?
I don't know. And especially for when it comes to an needed abortion for a wanted pregnancy, is like, why would you? That's already tough enough as it is. Why the fuck would you make that more difficult? I don't know. Separately, Alabama Attorney General Steve Marshall suggested this week he would prosecute VA doctors who perform abortions that conflict with the state law. So he's like, I don't care what you guys say. We're not doing it. Alabama has banned almost all abortions except for when the mother's life is in danger. The state has no exceptions for rape or incest. At least 14 states have banned or nearly banned abortion since the Supreme Court's decision in June, while another 9 have moved to restrict it, but have been blocked by courts. Senate VA Committee Chairman John Tester predicted a lawsuit could be filed against the new VA policy. I'm sure it'll be challenged in court, but hopefully it will be unsuccessful because, quite frankly, then what the VA would have to do is say, look, there's a medical procedure we can't do, so you'll have to die, ma'am. Basically, is what they're saying. Women, not the government, should make their own decisions about their own bodies, said Senator Elizabeth Warren at a news conference Wednesday. Women, not the government, should determine what is best for their families and the future. Abortion is healthcare, and that makes it a basic human right. If we can get 2 more Democratic senators here and hold on to the House, then Roe will be the law, and this will no longer be a live issue, Warren said. alluding to upcoming elections. In the meantime, and I think the Democrats are relying on that heavily to win right now. So they need abortion, really, is in the meantime, we're asking that the law as it is written be enforced. In the 90s, Congress passed two bills that make clear that Veterans Administration is responsible for the health care of veterans and abortion is health care. So I quite frankly was thrilled to see that they're standing up for women who are in the military and veterans and anyone who needs this care. I'm just really glad that they're doing that and standing up for us.
Yeah.
I feel like that doesn't always happen. So,
well, yeah. Cause the VA could easily just wash their hands and say, oh, sorry, we're just going to let, you know, whatever state you're in dictate this.
Right.
But they've now stood up, as you said. And I don't know that I mean, I could be speaking out of turn here, that Alabama Attorney General, I don't know that they even have jurisdiction over the VA and what they do. Don't. My gut says they don't. So him challenging that is kind of a fool's errand.
Yeah.
And then, you know, just also, I just think it's, as I said, really good on the VA to stand up and make their own decisions. And also, you know, just because something was passed in 1992, are we to say that no laws have ever been repealed or no laws have ever been challenged and overturned? So, I mean, to completely rely on something from 1992 as if it's going to be, you know, your silver bullet is a little far-fetched to me.
Listen up, we've got some tea and you all are going to be obsessed. We spoke with the Abercrombie team and they told us that they were going to launch a wedding shop. Well, we lost it because, as you know, we are both getting ready to get Abercrombie and Hitched. The whole vibe of Abercrombie these days is clothes you'd wear for a perfect long weekend, and all their customers were like, hey, we spend long weekends traveling for weddings these days. And then Abercrombie was like, we love that. Let us just give you everything you could ever possibly want and love to wear for all things wedding. So they did. It has everything. Tons of dresses, jumpsuits, pants, swimsuits, pajamas, pantsuits, and all perfectly curated for different events, bachelorettes, brunches, showers, ceremonies as a guest and ceremonies as a bride, reception, and even honeymoon. It is incredible. Check out the Abercrombie Wedding Shop on Abercrombie.com. Go shop it now.
Let's move on to some save rounds and alibis. Nick, we'll start with you, pal. What do you got?
No real save rounds. Just happy football's back. That's about it.
Yeah, go Birds. Dallas lost.
Yeah, Dallas lost. And then Dak's
glad
out.
Glad to see it.
Dak's out 6 to 8 weeks for the Cowboys.
Yeah.
With some surgery on the old handscape. Yeah.
Patriots lost. You love to see it. Update the safety brief at the Patriots-Dolphins game down in Miami. Somebody put a lit grill. They probably didn't realize it was still lit in the trunk of their car, what looked like a Jeep, before they went into the tailgate. And
so
by the time people came out, they even during the broadcast, they're like, we're seeing smoke in the parking lot. What's going on? 11 cars got burnt to a crisp because someone put, I looked it up. This happens every year at stadiums across the country. A couple years ago at the same game, right down the street from me it was a Jets game. Two separate cars drove and parked on top of coals that other groups had dumped. So they didn't see the coals parked over top of them, and two separate car fires. Once again, 11 cars burnt to a crisp. It happens all the time. People putting lit grills in their fucking trunks and shit goes ham.
How stupid do you have to be? And also, it's kind of like an unwritten rule of tailgating. I think it's rare that people steal other things that are left out, like a tail. Like if you leave it like a 10x10 tent or a grill that's going down, normally you don't have to worry that it's getting stolen. So there's no reason to put it away in your car.
That's because where you go to a lot of tailgate games. I ain't doing that shit in Duval County, Florida.
True.
I tell you that.
True.
It might be a little different at West Point.
You
take a little trip down to Everbank and it ain't going to be the same. Your grill is fucking gone.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. But I just, you know, update the safety brief on that one too. It's pretty crazy. But it was nice yesterday to put on a little ball.
I was texting one of my buddies yesterday. I was sitting in my office. I had both of my TVs up. I had the Red Zone on one, the Jags getting their ass beat. No, not really. We played okay yesterday. But I was sitting here watching it. And at around 11:55, my wife brought in Canes. So I had Canes for lunch sitting there. I had a nice like 8 or 6 pack of the chicken tenders, some fries, some coleslaw. The games were coming on. And I just had like the biggest grin on my face. Like, so happy.
It's Christmas morning.
It really is. You're like, here we go. Let's do it. It was great. I enjoyed it. Cons, what about you for save rounds, pal?
So I think we'd be remiss. Sorry not to be a little solemn, but it's we're recording this. It's September 12th. Yesterday was September 11th. And
yes,
for the first time, and, you know, maybe it was confounded because the NFL, you know, was the first day back. And certainly there were remembrances and everything. But for the first time, it didn't, to me at least, feel like there was a large cloud over the entire country. People, obviously, you're never going to forget that day. It's going to be one of those dates. Obviously, we never forget. You're always going to remember it. But it almost feels now, after we remembered 20 years last year, we've maybe kind of turned a corner where it's like, hey, we'll always remember this and people will always have terrible memories of that day, but it's okay to continue on with your life and move on and be happy for other reasons. You know, namely because the NFL is back. I think that's something that's great in this country, that we all come together around the NFL, and it really is a force in this country that kind of brings a lot of different people from different backgrounds and beliefs together. You know, not to make 9/11 trite or, and, you know, make sports more important than they are, but it just felt to me like, even though we were still remembering it yesterday, it wasn't as solemn maybe as it has been in years past. So I don't know if any of you have any thoughts on that, and especially maybe for me, just like from being from this area and really knowing people, and obviously you guys know people too now, who were affected on that day, It had a little bit of a different feeling yesterday. So I'm curious what you guys think.
Nick?
Yeah. For me, you know, my dad is, you know, I've said before, you know, he was a fire captain for 31 years. He retired in 2000. But his building was World Trade Center 3. So, and that obviously went down at some point. For me, just to piggyback on what you said, Cons, is I think it's more like, a lot of the people that were that age, like, I mean, I think I was like a sophomore, like I have a daughter now. Right. So my days are just different, right? Like the TV dictates a lot of, I think, how sucked in you get on that day. Mm-hmm. And for me, like between football being on, just being able to have to, you know, attend to, like, you know, a 3-year old and make sure she's getting the attention. It's really, I wasn't by the TV all day, like for the reasons that I typically are on that day, where I'll make myself watch documentaries as my kind of way of just like kind of bringing me back. And I just didn't have that as much of an opportunity to do that yesterday. I kind of felt bad about it, to be honest, just if it's just my way of kind of remembering and kind of like staying true to, you know, the never forget, like, you know, slogan, for lack of a better term. But I just think it's just, as the times passes, like things get more complicated and your day gets filled differently. And, but yeah, I think it was a kind of a good thing that, like, almost football landed on that day, because I feel like a lot of people have nothing to do and just end up thinking about one of the worst times that we've had.
Mm-hmm.
And I think grief can hit you at different ways at different times. And it's been for the past 20 years that everybody kind of grieves again for 9/11 and what happened in America. But I think it's a lot like our friends that were killed in Afghanistan, or how Kate feels whenever she reads the news about Afghanistan that's currently in the news. That grief can hit you at different times. And it might, like Nick's family, like it might be a random May 14th that is a very difficult day. And I think it just kind of shifts over a while, because, I mean, Pearl Harbor is a perfect example. Pearl Harbor, the tragedy of what happened at Pearl Harbor is no different today than it was in 1945, like, or 1942. It's no different. But the way that we look at it, it feels different because it's so far removed. That was inevitable for something like this. Like, it's, time doesn't heal all wounds, but it makes the wound cauterized. And a lot of times that's how we feel, I think, as the American society, especially after so many things last year and the 20th anniversary.
Yeah.
So much in the forefront. It was so emotional and so many people stopped what they were doing. I think it was inevitable for that to happen yesterday.
Well, I think now too, I mean, look at the PACT Act that just passed. I think now the big thing will be the people who were there on the pile and the effects that is hit are really starting to hit them and affect their families now. I think that's going to be a big thing on the forefront again. And then I always read the story. I try and read at least a few stories every year. And the one that I read like three times yesterday was the story of Todd Beamer, who was on United Flight 93. And he was the one on the phone who said, "Let's roll," who said, "All right, other passengers, there's this group of us in the back. We know what's going on now, and we're going to take these guys down." He was a father of two with a third on the way. And he said, tell my wife and family I love them. He knew, like they knew, that whole group, the whole plane knew that they were going to die, but that they were going to make sure nobody else on the ground died. And I don't know. Every time I read that story, like, it just blows me away. And it's just a reminder of the people that we have in this country. Like, I feel like we always focus on the negative of, like, you know, the news is always so negative, but there's just so many. I mean, I don't know if I would have that in my body to do something like that. And just incredible people that day who did incredible things. So,
yeah, I'll always read those stories. And I'm similar to you, Nick, in that I always find myself watching documentaries or movies centered around that, just like I did last night. You know, it just, for me, it kind of felt a little different. Certainly I'll never forget and always do that every 9/11 where I read different stories because they'll never leave us. But
anything else, Cons?
No.
All right. I don't have anything else either. Way to bring up 9/11 before I fucking was going to roast you about UTSA beating Army. Now I don't even feel like I can do it. Unbelievable, Cons. Good move there. just how you drove it up.
I didn't think you were going to bring it up. I was kind of surprised you didn't mention it at all. I mean, it was a good game. I mean, if you were just a casual fan watching a football game, it was a great game.
It was. It was a very fun game to watch. Big win by UTSA, which we need because we got to go to fucking UT next week. Rough. All right. Well, we'll be back on Thursday. Oh, by the way, announcement on Thursday. No more drafts. We're done with them for a little while on the regular podcast. We're going to put those on YouTube. So if you did like them, we're going to put those on YouTube specifically so you can go out. Also, one more note about 9/11. We actually posted an interview that we did with 9/11 Justice last week. And we did the interview with David Faraday, which you haven't listened to that. Go back to the YouTube and listen to that interview. Well, we had Justice for 9/11 come, our 9/11 Justice come on and talk about their view of what's going on with LIV Golf, the Saudis, and how that has affected them with having two of the golf tournaments both in Boston and in New York, two of the cities that were hardest hit by 9/11 as well. So make sure you go to the YouTube to check that out. Other than that, we'll see you here on Thursday. It's On the Retreat.